Well, we continue on our study of Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. He has some big things to say this week in his interview with Marco Tassotti. I already gave you dessert yesterday. We went to the very end of the interview, and we looked at what Archbishop Vigano has to say about President Trump, about the 2020 election. He speaks very highly of President Donald Trump. In particular, his speech at the end of the Republican National Convention. In that speech, Donald Trump states that we do not place our trust in governmental princes. We don't place it in government. We place our trust in Almighty God. And Archbishop Vigano says, by the right hand of God, referring to Psalm 117, that God, it seems, will give the victory to Donald Trump. A big thing to say. And that's why my first video on this interview went to the end and handled the dessert. This morning, I talked about the relationship between Pope Francis and Joe Biden and the need in the globalist mindset, not in the pure good mindset, but in the evil mindset, to create this axis of power between China and the United States, brokered and mediated by the Vatican and by the Pope. This is the idea of creating a global communism, globalism. And Archbishop Vigano is aware that ex-Cardinal McCarrick, the pedophile, the embezzler, the man who had beach houses where he did all kinds of ungodly and disgusting things, that he was the one who brokered this deal for Pope Francis, and it has wickedness dripping off of it all over. It's horrible. So that's what we've covered so far. And if you want to hear what I have to say about those, or rather what Archbishop Vigano says with my commentary, I'd encourage you to watch the last two videos. Today, I'm going to look at Archbishop Vigano and his understanding of Vatican II, the premises of certain statements in Vatican II, not the whole council, certain statements in Vatican II that open the way, that pave the way for globalism, for atheistic globalism, and for, his words, the dissolution of the family. So we're going to look today at Archbishop Vigano on Vatican II and globalism. Before we do, we are going to pray, and we'll pray together the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. All right, well, let's jump right into it. Welcome to all the new viewers. We are streaming today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Periscope. And if you are new, please like the video. And then the most important thing you can do is share this video on Twitter, Facebook, whatever you do, Instagram, I don't know. I think Facebook and Twitter are the best. So thanks to everyone. Lots of people shared this morning on the video, and I thank every one of you. I truly do appreciate you. So thanks for doing that. And if you're new on YouTube, please subscribe and hit the bell. If you don't hit the bell, you don't get notified. So subscribe and hit the notification icon. All right. Well, I'm moving into this part of the interview with Marco Tassotti and Archbishop Vigano. And earlier, Archbishop Vigano references that the Second Vatican Council paved the way for the summer of 68, the 69 sexual revolution. In America, we identify it with Woodstock and the hippies and, I don't know, fill in the blanks here, Jimi Hendrix and the end of the Beatles and the rise of bands like the Grateful Dead and Led Zeppelin and whatnot. It was certainly a shift, and it wasn't just in the United States of America. It was all over the world, but also especially in Europe, as we'll see in a moment, and led by priests in some places, even Jesuits, no surprise there. So Marco Tassotti asked Vigano this: why do you see a relationship between the Second Vatican Council and the 1968 student protests? His Excellency Archbishop Vigano responds, it is undeniable, even if only from a historical and sociological point of view, that there is a close relationship between the Conciliar Revolution, that's Vatican II, and 1968. The very protagonist of Vatican II admit it. Joseph Ratzinger stands out among them, writing, and here Archbishop Vigano quotes Ratzinger. And there's been kind of a, let me just make a comment here, there's kind of a back and forth right now in Catholic discourse, especially when you talk about Vatican II or Archbishop Vigano, over quotes by Ratzinger Benedict. Each side is able to cite proof text showing Vatican II is awesome or Vatican II has problems by citing Ratzinger. Me personally, I think it's a lost cause. I think there's things in Ratzinger that go both ways. But here's a really solid quote from Ratzinger regarding Vatican II that Vigano brings up, and we should all pay attention to it. So here goes. Here's the quote from Ratzinger. Quote, adherence to a utopian anarchistic Marxism was supported on the front lines by university chaplains and student associations who saw it in the dawn of the realization of Christian hopes. The guiding light is to be found in the events of May 1968 in France. Dominicans and Jesuits were at the barricades. The intercommunion carried out at an ecumenical mass at the barricades was considered a kind of landmark in salvation history, a kind of revelation that inaugurated a new era of Christianity, end quote. And we do see this in even in the opening address of John the 23rd at Vatican II. We do see this idea that we're entering into a new epoch of humanity and thus Christianity. Now, sadly, this goes back to the warnings of Pope Pius IX and Pope St. Pius X, who warned us of the error of modernism, which is the synthesis of all errors. It's the idea that Catholicism needs to be updated with the times. You got to update. You got to keep it modern. You got to keep the music trendy. You got to keep the vestments trendy. You got to get banners that are trendy. And you might even need to start changing all seven sacraments to update them for the times. And what do we see now in 2020? We hear of calls in the Vatican for updating even the Novus Ordo. The Novus Ordo now, since 1969, 1970, even it apparently needs to be updated. And this is the error that Pope Pius X warned us about. It's the heresy of modernism. Catholicism doesn't need to be updated or changed with the times. Are there clarifications made over 2,000 years? Yes. Do we use more and more precise terminology to fight heresy? Yes. But do we change the Bible? Do we change the interpretation of the Bible? Do we change the sacraments? Do we change the structure of the church? Do we change the papacy? No, 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 and finally, no. Catholicism in the year AD 33 is identical in faith and morals to Catholicism in 2020. It is perennial. Yes, I know that the church in AD 33 did not recite the Nicene Creed at Mass. I know. But they all believed the content that was in the Nicene Creed. Of course, there are heretics and there are battles. Yes. But the apostolic faith has always been preserved in the Catholic Church. It's always been there. There was always someone, bishops and lay people and popes, who believed in the Trinity, who believed that Christ was eternally begotten of the Father, that believed that after the consecration, the bread was no longer bread, but was truly the person Jesus Christ. There was always someone who believed that Our Lady was assumed body and soul into heaven, etc. All the dogmas and doctrines of the faith have always been inside the deposit of faith that Christ gave to the 12 apostles. so it can't be changed. But in the 1960s, modernism went on parade. And so we see all kinds of innovations, including this idea of intercommunion. It's the idea you can get a Lutheran and a Methodist and a Presbyterian, and we all disagree on what Christianity is, but we all receive the Eucharist together. No, we don't. Communion means cum with union. With union. We have union of belief in order to be in communion with one another. So the Eucharist, which is Holy Communion, is union with God Almighty through the hypostatic union, Jesus Christ. But it's also union on a horizontal level through that transcendent. The transcendent's primary, of course. So Pope Benedict is saying here that there was this idea of a new Christianity, a new era of Christianity that included this idea of relativism, intercommunion. Then Archbishop Vigano quotes one of the Pareti, the experts at the Vatican II Council, Father René Laurentin. He says, "The demands of May 68 movement largely coincided with the Council's grand ideas, particularly in the Council's constitution on the Church and the world. To a certain extent, Vatican II was already a protest against the Curia by a group of bishops who were trying to create an institutionally prefabricated council," end quote. This is what we mean by deep church. There were many theologians, many bishops who were holding a shadow council, a deep council, and primarily Germans. If you have this book, you should read it. If you don't, you should get it. The Rhine Flows into the Tiber, A History of Vatican II. And it shows how the German theologians and the German bishops exerted their power primarily through their prestige with their wealth and also their academic institutions, how they, from the Rhine, flowed their evil ideas into the Tiber, which is the river that runs through Rome, right there along Vatican City. A great book. It's shocking to read, and it shows you that what Vigano's talking about, what Ratzinger's talking about, what all these sources are talking about was a shadow council, a deep church. And it coincides with the revolutionary spirit that we saw manifest in the late 60s. He then quotes another theologian, the Argentinian theologian, Father Alvaro Calderon, who has a very interesting thesis on authority. I read some of it. He states, "If there is anything that immediately stands out to those who study the Second Vatican Council, it is the change, in a liberal sense, of the concept of authority. The Pope stripped himself of supreme authority in favor of the bishops," which is what today they call collegiality or synodality. That's kind of the new hot word, synodality. That's what Francis likes. Nope, this way. Here we go. "So the Pope stripped himself of supreme authority in favor of the bishops," collegiality. "Then the bishops stripped themselves of their authority in favor of theologians. Theologians gave up their science in favor of listening to the faithful." We can think here of the ban on contraception, which has been all the way into the early church. They just said, well, the lay people, they want to use condoms and the birth control pill, so we're just going to have to let that happen. "And the voice of the faithful is nothing more than the fruit of propaganda," end quote. And then Vigano makes a comment here. He says, "The vision is also widely and profoundly affirmed on the progressive front, which saw the same demands of the conciliar revolution realized in 1968. So Vigano is making an argument here. It's a daring argument. It's been made before. I will say that many people have not ever taken it seriously because they say, look, after the Industrial Revolution, moving into the post-Second World War era, we have women who have been at work. We have the invention of all kinds of things that enable women to leave the home and enter the workforce. These would be, and Jordan Peterson's done an interesting analysis on this. He says that things like the birth control pill obviously is important, but also things like brassieres, tampons, and other such things, even clothing, allowed women to have more and more freedom within the world and outside the domestic roles. And this created a certain sexual revolution, a gender revolution. There's also things, you know, after the Second World War, there was a great pessimism, both in the New World and in the Old World in Europe. Sons, fathers, uncles, brothers had been slaughtered. Every family had lost their sons, even some daughters, but mostly sons, in the war. And there was this pessimism. Even my own grandfather, I remember speaking to him saying how he lost his faith during the Second World War. And he said, how could it be that a God would allow a World War II? How horrible it was. He said, you didn't see it with your own eyes. I was there. He was on the Pacific side. So many people lost their faith. So there are all these elements that are leading up to it. But what Vigano is saying, and I'm going to get to this point in a little bit, is that when the Catholic Church, which is the leader in morality and faith, when the Catholic Church, he says, gave the green light to moral ambiguity, and when the Catholic Church says, well, we're not really authoritative anymore, the Pope's not going to wear his triple crown, his tiara anymore, we're going to be more into dialogue and understanding and accompaniment and tolerance and religious freedom. When the world was sort of barreling towards this revolution, that's when the Catholic Church said, well, we're not here to stop you. You be you. And this is the problem. So Bishop Vigano then cites Bishop Jacques Noyer, Emeritus of Amiens. He recalls this, quote, I am convinced that the spirit that inspired the preparation, celebration, and implementation of the Second Vatican Council is a great opportunity for the church and for the world. It is the gospel offered to the men of today. Deep down, May 68 was a spiritual movement, even a mystical one, consistent with the dream of the council. Now, younger people, I'm not that young, but people younger than me, they look at Vatican II Catholicism, talking about 20-year-olds, teenagers, and what they see is a Catholicism that is merged and confused with 1960s rebellion. They hear music that sounds like 1960s hippie music, like Bob Dylan, Peter, Paul, and Mary, etc. It's this sort of politicized, I have an acoustic guitar, let me tell you how we can change the world together. Love is the way. They see architecture. They see everything. It's kind of a time capsule of the 1968 revolution. And it's frozen. This Vatican II theology and outlook is sort of melded and frozen with that time period. And I think young people can look back and they see that. And I think they find it funny and they make fun of it. You know, they use the term boomer. They use the term boomer. Now, I don't like to use the term boomer because I realize that many of the great stalwart champions of tradition, the reason why we have traditional Latin Mass today is because of these people who are in the boomer generation who fought for the traditional Latin Mass and who fought for the faith. But young people look and they say, you know, this idea of boomer Catholicism that's sort of frozen in the spirit of 68, we don't want that. We don't relate to that. The older people, I think many of them still think that teenagers today are like teenagers, beatniks, in 1968 and 1969. It's just not the case. And they're amazed when they see young people attending the traditional Latin Mass. They see girls wearing veils, right? They see men bringing their six kids to the traditional Latin Mass. They see young men entering the seminary. They don't want to go and be a liberal Jesuit. They want to go and they want to wear traditional vestments, preach the traditional gospel. and celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. Young ladies who want to enter the convent, they don't want to wear a pantsuit with a lapel pin that says, I'm a nun. They want to wear a habit and a veil. In other words, they want to be Catholic. Vigano, kind of close up here. This is part of the good part here. He says, without a green light from the church, the world would have never accepted or taken up the student movement's demands for rebellion. Beyond the acts of the council, it was precisely the spirit of the council of Vatican II that marked the end of a hierarchical constituted society and of the traditional values common to the Western world. Until then, concepts such as authority, honor, respect for the elderly, a spirit of mortification, a spirit of service, a sense of duty, a defense of the family, and of one's fatherland were shared and, albeit in a weakened form compared to the past, still practiced. So it was the Catholic Church that was holding this structure together. By being hierarchical and patriarchal, the Catholic Church was holding society together. So as society began to rebel and move into the spirit of 68, that's right before that, the Catholic Church says, well, we're not going to be hierarchical, authoritative, and patriarchal. It's like when a teenager first began his rebellion and the dad said, well, I'm not going to be your dad anymore. That's the problem. Seeing the Catholic Church, a beacon of truth and civilization for nations, throw open its doors to the world and unhesitatingly discard her glorious heritage, going so far as to revolutionize the liturgy and water down morality, was an unequivocal sign to the masses, a sort of approval of the agenda that at the time didn't yet dare to reveal itself completely, even though all of the distinctive signs could be grasped. And I'll pause here and I'll say, if you look at the hierarchy today in 2020, you see the same kind of union with the left. I always lose this picture and it drives me mad. But you think of that picture of Bishop Mark Seitz. He's kneeling down with the Black Lives Matter sign, and he gets the call from Pope Francis. I need to just make a file that only has that picture in it because I can never find that picture. We look at our bishops, we look at our nuns, we see them aligned with liberal principles. There's no other better example than this guy right here. He is aligned with globalism, socialism, EU, UN, and tolerance of rebellious, immoral behavior. We can recall when he says, who am I to judge? I will not say one word. This is the ethos in the message of the Catholic Church in 2020. And to justify this sort of toleration weakness, what do they always say? What did Bishop Barron say when I asked him to justify this? He said, well, that's the teaching of Vatican II. So no one is hiding this. Vatican II is the wall built around the modernist castle, and they must defend that wall, or the whole thing comes down. Now, the last point here, this is perhaps the most powerful, is Vigano says, all the premises that were laid down in a nutshell with Vatican II and the student revolution are now consistently proposed by Vatican leaders on the ecclesial front and by government leaders on the globalist political front. Therefore, it should come as no surprise if the priorities of Bergoglio's political program coincide with Joe Biden's priorities. This goes back to what I was talking about on the live stream this morning. And then he gives those priorities, the priorities of Bergoglio, who's Pope Francis, and Joe Biden. Here are those priorities. Vigano lists them for us. Migration, environmentalism, Malthusian ecologism. I don't know what the accent is on ecologism. Gender ideology, the dissolution of the family, and globalism are common to the deep state and deep church agenda. Vigano then says, Bergoglio's formal opposition to abortion and the LGBT doctrinization of children is disavowed in practice, both by the bishop's support for those who promote it politically and for those who theorize about the use of birth control and the recognition of the rights of sodomites. The case of Father James Martin S.J. is emblematic because it confirms an idem sentire, same mind, thinking the same thing, between the exponents of globalism and the progressive Catholic intelligentsia. The mark that unites these movements is lying and deception, division and destruction, hatred for tradition and Christian civilization. It's true. You think about the set that runs with James Martin and the Jesuits. They hate medieval. They hate Thomistic. They don't like Thomas Aquinas. They don't like the traditional Latin Mass. If you talk about medieval monarchy, oh, they hate that. Can't have medieval monarchy. That's so evil. You talk about the death penalty. You talk about authority. You talk about papal states or the temporal power of the Pope. Any of these things that were deep in the heart of Catholicism, they show contempt. Traditional doctrine, Catechism of Pius X, they don't like that. Roman Catechism of the Council of Trent, they don't like that either. Everything, you have to only go with the new. New canon law, new canonization of saints, new catechism, new liturgy, new everything. That is the spirit of 68. It's the age of Aquarius. To get real hippie on you, new age, it's the age of Aquarius. And the churchy version of the age of Aquarius is, well, that's Vatican II. Deal with it. So I would encourage you, that's the section on Vatican II. I think there are some insights there. I like it. As you know, I'm a huge Vigano fan. All day, every day. And I'd encourage you to read the entire interview. You can get it at Catholic Family News. LifeSite News has it as well. It's in other places. Read the whole thing. It is, let me tell you, I copied and pasted it into a document so I could make notes. But I think it is, sorry, I got all these items on my screen. I can't tell how many pages it is. There it is, 10 pages. It's 10 pages long. It's fantastic. And it has a lot of good conclusions for our time. Namely, I think this is what I take away from it. There needs to be an access for globalism to work between the superpower in the East, China, and the superpower in the West, United States of America. Francis has already brokered the deal through McCarrick with China. It's secure. He's got it. Now he needs to broker the deal with America. Who is the person to do that? Obama's vice president, the fake Catholic Joe Biden, who on paper is Catholic, but will go along with the entire secularist globalist agenda. They, the bad people in the Vatican walls, they need Joe Biden as the president of the United States of America. And Vigano is calling them out, and they don't like Vigano. All right. Well, we'll close up in prayer here, and we'll pray for our church. We'll pray for our leaders. We'll pray for Vigano, and we'll pray the Ave Maria and the Gloria Patri. Here we go. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et at hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sic erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us, St. Pius X. Pray for us, Our Lady Pure Theotokos. Pray for us. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, everyone. And remember, pray the rosary every day. If you don't pray the rosary, not a team. Got some pushback on that lately. Oh, Taylor Marshall's trying to create a cult. Don't pray the rosary, not a team. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Our Lady asked us to pray the rosary every day. Can we get on Our Lady's team and say, yes, Mama, I will obey you. I will do the bare minimum. I will pray five decades every day. That's what I mean by get on the team. So pray the rosary or you're just not on the team. Also, read the Bible every day. Go to the traditional Latin Mass. Read books by saints. Read the Roman Catechism, Catechism of the Council of Trent. Learn your faith. Teach your faith to your spouse and to your children. This is the time to be serious about being a Catholic. All in. Are you all in? You got to be all in. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Please like the video. Give it the thumbs up. I appreciate that. Please share the video so that people see this. Otherwise, because YouTube is no longer promoting these kind of videos, especially as we run into the election, anything that's what I'm talking about is getting shadow banned. So if you want people to see it, please share it. That's why I keep asking y'all to share things. And if you're new to YouTube, please subscribe. Also, you can listen on Periscope, Spotify. The show's always uploaded to Spotify, Facebook too. I think YouTube is the best place right now. So there's the show. Archbishop Vigano, we love you. We pray for you. Everybody keep praying. There a decade for Vigano, at least once a week. Give good Archbishop Vigano a decade. Until next time, remember our Lord Jesus Christ said you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Tomorrow, I'll be on with Matt Gaspers and we'll review the whole interview. Big analysis, global analysis.